So today on Rotary Matters, it's a great pleasure to be talking with Sue Haywood, who's the chair of the Rotary Inspirational Women's Awards, and with Stacey Jane, who won the award in 2023. Sue, give us an idea first. What is the Rotary Inspirational Women's Award, or RIWA, which we'll call it, and why do we need it in the first place?
Okay, well, thank you, Ian. Thanks for having us on your programme today. I suppose in keeping with Rotary's motto of service above self, these awards acknowledge and celebrate community service performed by women through their various activities and endeavours. They recognise the work done by women, the quiet achievers, whose actions inspire others and make a difference to their communities. The RIWAs recognise service to the community across all sectors. They're directed at the non-Rotary community, so Rotarians cannot be part of this award. They're unable to be nominated. But it's all about commitment, dedication, perseverance, and proactivity in improving the lives of others.
So when did it begin, and whose idea was it in the first place?
It began, this iteration of RIWA began in 2017, and it was Rotarians in the Rotary District 9675, which covers the southern half of Sydney, Macarthur and the Illawarra, that thought at that stage women were performing a lot of community service, getting no recognition for it, and that we should raise the profile of these women doing such a great job.
So is it restricted to that geographical area, or is RIWA working on a national
level? South Wales and ACT are able to be nominated.
Okay.
Women in New South Wales and ACT.
So a Rotarian can't nominate themselves, but a Rotarian could nominate somebody who is a non-Rotarian.
Yes. No one can nominate a Rotarian for an award. We don't want to be seen as getting recognition for what we do, because we do community service through Rotary, without wanting to get accolades or awards. But this is specifically for women who are non-Rotarians.
Okay, and Sue Haywood, there are different categories within the Rotary Inspirational Women's Awards.
Yes, there are. There are two age groups, Ian. There is the Rotary Inspirational Woman of the Year for a woman aged 30 or and over. And then there's the Young Inspirational Woman of the Year for women aged 18 to 30. So these women must be, must still be 29 on the 29th of September 2024 when the awards are announced.
Right.
So that's the age group. And then within this age group, there are three separate awards. There's an urban, a rural, and during COVID, we introduced the healthcare worker. We wanted to recognise the wonderful job that our healthcare workers do, and we've decided to continue on with that category because our healthcare workers are so important to our communities that we just decided we would keep this third category.
Okay, so how is the judging of the awards? How does that take place?
Okay, well, the judging is done by an independent panel of Rotarians around the state. They're looking for, they're assessing each nominee against three key criteria, and they are community service, which best exemplifies Rotary's motto of service above self. They are looking at their achievements, things that they have done, and they're looking at their personal attributes. So it's really important that the applications give us as much detail as possible about these three things that describe this particular nominee.
All right, so we'll be coming in a minute to talk to Stacey Jane, who won the award in 2023. Before we get to Stacey Jane, remind us, if you would, Sue Haywood, about Louisa Hope. Louisa won the award a few years ago for the role that she took part in following the Lindt Cafe siege.
That's right.
Louisa Hope's story.
Okay, so Louisa was having coffee with her mother in the Lindt Cafe when the siege happened, and she was one of the hostages in the siege. She was shot in the foot, I think it was in the foot, and obviously was taken to hospital and had quite a significant time recuperating from that. Your feet are so important to your life, aren't they? But she decided that she was actually interviewed by 60 Minutes or one of the TV stations. She decided that the money that she got for this interview, she would start the Louisa Hope Foundation for Nurses. I'm not sure if that's the exact term for it. And so she has this scholarship fund for nurses where she supports nurses, and it's growing all the time. Obviously, she set it up so that it's something that can continue and be sustainable. She is our patron, Ian, and she's done a wonderful job of promoting, especially the healthcare category. But generally, she's just terrific as our patron. We have two patrons. We have the Honourable Margaret, Her Excellency the Margaret Beasley, ACKC, who is one of our patrons, and Louisa Hope is our other one.
And I remember
Margaret Beasley is the Governor of New South Wales. I just thought I'd mention that.
Right. And I do recall that with the foundation that Louisa Hope set up, it was to provide support for the nurses in the hospitals.
Yes.
Support that wouldn't necessarily be provided by their employer. It'd be very practical things that they might need at the nurse's station or to make life more comfortable for themselves within the hospital, as a way of showing her appreciation for the care that she received following the shooting at the Lindt Cafe. So
That's
it's
right.
A very inspirational story and a well-deserved winner. So how do you go about applying for a reward? If you know somebody who you think could be a candidate, how would they go about taking that further?
Okay. Well, the nomination forms are on a platform called Awards Force, and that is at, I can give it to you, Ian, another time, but it's if you go to rewa.awardsplatform.com or just do Rewa 2024, you'll get a couple of links. There's a link to the District 9675 Rotary website, and there's a link to the Awards Force platform. So you just have to click on that link and you'll be able to go straight in. The form is a lovely user-friendly form, Ian. You can start doing the form, you can fill in the name of the nominee and your own name. And then if you think you need to get more information about them, or you're going away for a long weekend, or you know, you have to go out, you can just save what you've got and come back to it at a later date. So it's a really lovely, lovely form to use.
Okay, so listen.
And we keep our eye on that form, Ian. We just watch how the nominations are coming in. If we see someone who's looks as though they're stuck on a form, we sometimes will get in touch with them and say, "Do you need any help finishing this off?"
Right, right.
They may have changed their minds or something, but you know, we offer the help.
Good. So, listeners, just remember, Rewa 2024. Google that; it'll take you to the site, and from there, you'll be able to find the nomination form. So,
exactly.
Hayward, we've been talking with there, is the chair of Rewa. She referenced Louisa Hope, who was a winner in a previous year. But now we're going to be talking with Stacey Jane, who was the winner in 2023. And she was the founder and the CEO of an organization called Escabags. I'm going to be asking Stacey Jane about that in a moment. But Stacey Jane, firstly, were you aware of Rewa previously, and how did it in fact come to your attention?
Hi Ian, thank you so much for having me, and always lovely to hear from you, Sue. So I was initially invited by Janice Hall to the launch of the Rotary Inspiration Awards at Government House in April 2022, I believe, and that was just a really wonderful insight into the awards. So then obviously when I received an email last year stating that I'd been nominated myself, it was just an incredible acknowledgement for obviously Escabags and of course Wollongong, which is where I'm based.
So Escabags is a business in one sense, a service in another, that has been developed in response to incidents of domestic violence. Stacey Jane, what domestic violence, we keep hearing about it in a lot in the media. Has it always been there but not reported, or is there just so much more of it that we're hearing about nowadays?
I think domestic abuse has always been a long-standing issue in Australia, but obviously with the increased awareness and reporting, that's just really shed some light on its prevalence. I mean, you only have to switch the news on to know 29 women alone this year have lost their lives to violence, and just 9 this month. When we're thinking about what's recently happened on our doorstep in Bondi, it's just absolutely horrific. And the statistics tell us that 1 in 6 Australian women and 1 in 16 men have actually experienced physical or sexual violence from a current or former partner. So it's not getting any better, that's for sure.
So this then leads me on to Escabags, which you founded. Where did that idea come from to you to begin this concept called Escabags?
Yeah, so Escabags was founded on the 20th of February 2020. And it was from my own experience with domestic abuse back home in the UK. And I was very fortunate that on the last time that the physical abuse occurred from my perpetrator, I was on board a cruise around New Zealand. And I'd met a wonderful Australian family who, took me under their wing because they always saw that I was alone. And when the attack happened on the last night of the cruise, security approached my Australian friends and explained the situation to them. And they knocked on my door that morning and said, "This is the first day of your new life, and you're coming home with us." And I did. Obviously, there's a bigger story to this. I went back to the UK. I moved into a women's shelter. And when the perpetrator of my abuse located me again, those same family members said, "Just come home to us." So just after 5 months of meeting them initially on that cruise, I made the permanent move to Australia and applied for a protection visa. And I think it was then that I realised that there was almost a gap in support for people escaping domestic abuse from when they reach that place of safety. We hear of mainly women and children, but obviously we do support men as well. You're running for your life. You're not thinking, "Have I got my purse? Have I got, my child's nappies or teddy bear or maybe feminine hygiene products?" So I just wanted to create something that was almost a practical solution to help reduce loss of life, because we know statistically that the most lethal time for a victim is when he or she is escaping the family home. That's the most lethal time, because the perpetrator knows that they've lost all control.
So, Stacey Jane, that was a horrendous story you just described for us. And thank goodness there were the good Samaritans on the ship who took you under their wing,
Indeed.
and you're able to lean on them. But then you did come up with the practical solution to deal with this dreadful situation. And you created an Escabag. What is in, what would you find typically in an Escabag? And in fact, how do they get made?
Okay, so once upon a time, I was sewing tote bags just to help with my mental health when I first arrived in Australia following a diagnosis of complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And to be honest with you, Ian, I didn't know what those bags were going to be used for. It was primarily just to support my mental health and give me another focus. So, as I say, when I came up with the idea, it was the tote bags that I was making that were used to collect essential items. So now, obviously, I'm not chained to the sewing machine anymore. We have lots of very kind volunteers from across the country that make the tote bags, TAFE students, even Rotarians. So those bags come into our warehouse, and we pack them full of all the essential items that someone and their children may need in those first 72 hours. So we have two variations of escape bags: parent and child, and single adult. So they're not gender specific, but obviously we do know that abuse can happen, you know, as males being the victims and not just the perpetrators, but it is mainly women and children that use our service. So all your, you know, as I say, essential items, mainly toiletries and things like that. But we have a prepaid SIM card in each of the escape bags also. From my experience, my abuser had software on my mobile phone, so he was able to, you know, locate me, but also see exactly what I was texting, emailing, even the bank transactions I was making. So that SIM card is a real lifeline for someone. So not only can they make an emergency call, but they've also got the safety aspect of being able to call from a brand new number if their phone is being tracked.
So the bags are made by volunteers at TAFE and Rotary Clubs and other places. They come to you to a central warehouse where you fill them with the items that you have just mentioned. How do they get from your warehouse out into the community that needs them?
So we turned four as an organisation in February. I remember in the early days, I would try and focus on one industry per week to try and introduce our service. We don't have to do that anymore. We've got just over 1,600 not-for-profits and privately owned businesses across the country that are Escabag stockists. So it's a very simple process. You visit our website and you just show your interest. We just need a contact name, a business name, and obviously an address for where the escape bags are going. And we've seen so many different organisations and industries come on board. I mean, police stations, hospitals are obviously, you know, people on the front line, but also coffee shops, hotels, every Service New South Wales branch in New South Wales has escape bags available. So that's 111 branches. We started working closely with Lifeline a few months ago. So we're now ensuring that Lifeline retail stores have escape bags in every store across the country. And also we're working closely with Westpac. They're very interested in, we've got over 800 branches across the country, and they want to ensure that escape bags are available to collect from all of those branches. We're working closely with them too. And obviously the exciting thing about working alongside a bank is that we get that opportunity to work with them to create a piece of literature around financial abuse, which can then be included in the escape bags. And I think where we're talking with Westpac, you know, it's really good for their customers to then have that follow-up appointment. You know, do you need a bit more support around your finances? How can we support you further? Did you know that you were a victim of financial abuse? So that's a really exciting campaign we're working on also.
So are the bags sold then to the recipients or donated to the recipients?
Yeah, they're completely free of charge.
Free.
They always have been. Yeah. Unfortunately, we've noticed that we are purchasing nearly 85% of our products. Which, especially since, you know, all the COVID restrictions, the cost of living, it's just meant that we're not receiving as many donated products from individuals and organisations. But also on the other side of that, it's also costing us more as an organisation to purchase those essential items, which is why it's so important for us to build relationships, you know, with Rotary, for example, that can assist us with, we have Escabag's donation bins, which can be purchased by organisations. And we're working with our local Rotary here to try and get some of those boxes in schools and shopping malls. And the purchase of the bin actually includes the collection of that donation drive. And then the bin itself is for the company or the organisation to keep for further donations, which is a really great way that people, especially individuals, can support us, because you don't notice too much, you know, an extra toothbrush on top of your weekly shop, or, you know, a small shower gel. But it can help immensely, you know, with us as an organisation to get it to the beneficiary.
Stacey Jen, you've got it very well thought through, and I'm sure it's making a big difference to the people who receive the Escabags. thinking further ahead, are there other products or other services that you've got in mind to assist people suffering domestic violence?
Absolutely. I've always said the escape bags for rescue bags is just the tip of the iceberg, really. In terms of products, we've just started to introduce safety or personal alarms for all of our escape bags, and also mini first aid kits. So it's just extra. I think whenever we have our corporate volunteer days at the warehouse and people get the insight of when they're packing the bags, what actually goes in them, when they see the SIM card and I explain the reasons why, they've always been quite shocked by that because it's not something that necessarily everyone will think of about having to change your number for a safety reason or, being able to make that emergency call. So we're trying to look at products from a preventative point of view and a safety point of view rather than, the essential toiletries. So I think the safety alarms and the first aid kits will make it a fantastic new addition. On top of that, we are, as I say, we do our corporate volunteer days. So we have a collaboration in place with Women Illawarra, which is a local organisation, and they do the lunch and learn segment of our volunteer days. So not only are you're helping us in a practical sense by packing the escape bags, you've also got the education piece during that day around domestic abuse, which is a really great insight for people that maybe aren't as aware of just how horrific it is in and around our communities.
So, do you need more help in the warehouse to do the assembly? And if so, are you at liberty to tell us where that is?
Yeah, so our warehouse is based in Unanderra, which is just outside of Wollongong. We have companies that can, come and participate as a one-off for the corporate volunteer days. But as part of our corporate partnerships proposal, depending on the level of tier that you support us, there's usually, 2 or 3 days a year where that's included. And the exciting thing with our corporate partnerships for the next financial year is that we've introduced a new tier of partnership, which actually includes up to 30 members of staff to complete the nationally recognised mental health first aiders accredited course, which is also recognised by Suicide Prevention Australia as a safe, high quality and effective suicide prevention programme. Because I think the more people you speak to, around domestic abuse, it's very clear that mental health just goes hand in hand with domestic abuse most of the time. So to be able to offer that to our corporate partners and their teams of staff not only benefits, an organisation and their families, but also the communities in which they belong in.
Well, Stacey Jane, congratulations to you on what you've done, turning a dreadful situation that you personally experienced into a terrific resource for other people in the community. And the way you've pulled it together is very inspirational. Sue Haywood, it surprises me not at all that Stacey Jane and Escabags won the Rotary Inspirational Women's Award in 2023. And I'm sure you'll be receiving other applications for 2024, and I hope that they are as inspirational as the story we've just heard from Stacey Jane.
Yes, you're right, Ian, of course. And as I said to you, we get a range of different nominees. We get people like Stacey Jane who have developed their ideas into wonderfully rewarding initiatives in the community. We get other people who are just calmly, quietly volunteering away over a period of many years. We get a range. But Ian, can I just mention another couple of things? The first thing is that it doesn't cost anything to nominate a person for the REWA, but we do try to get financial support. We are very pleased to receive any partnership or funding support because one of the things we do is to support a female GP who is going out to do their rural placement. So when a GP finishes their training, they have to do rural placement and they have to pay rent and they have to live and all those other things in a place away from home. So we've partnered with the Australian Rotary Health, which is a medical research, predominantly a medical research organisation, excuse me, that supports people going through medical and research training. We've partnered with them and we form a scholarship where we support a female GP who's going out to do their rural placement. So that's one thing. The other thing I'd just like to mention is the timeframes for the awards this year. So we launched the awards just on Wednesday this week. And so nominations are now open. We close nominations on Wednesday, the 14th of June. And then we have about 3 weeks where we do, or a little longer than that, actually, Wednesday, the 6th of August, we announce our finalists. So our judges are very busy during that time, contacting nominees, checking information, and obviously judging the information that we get. And then on Sunday, the 29th of September, we hold the REWA Awards Luncheon. It'll be somewhere and to be announced soon. And that's when we actually do the awards. Just one more thing about the nominations, Ian, and that is that the judges do what's called a desktop evaluation of the nominees. We don't interview every single nominee. They come from all over New South Wales and ACT. So it's really important that the nominator gives us as much information as they can about their nominee and what they've done and how long and the value to the community. There is the ability to attach some documentation to the nomination in the Awards Force platform. So it's really important that we get as much information as we can so that we can make an informed decision.
All right. Well, look, both Sue Hayward, the chair, and Stacey Jane, the previous winner, thank you very much indeed for your time. Wishing you every success with the 2024 REWA. Listeners, just go to REWA and you'll find details of more details of the awards, how to apply, and those key dates that Sue Hayward has just mentioned. Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
Thank you, Stacey. Ian, I'll just mention that if they can't find REWA, they can find the Rotary Inspirational Women's Awards
okay.
in full. You can Google, you know, any of those things.